Okay, so we're up to now. What is the bracha after the Megillah? What do you say? Ben, what's the text of the bracha? Okay, so what's the text of the bracha you make after the Megillah? So what's the, how does it go? So you say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Harav Es Rivenu, the God who fights our fight, Adonis Dinenu, who judges our judgment, Benukim Es Nigmasenu, and he takes vengeance on our enemies, on our, takes out our vengeance, Vanifalana Mitzarenu, and he pays back against our adversaries, Vamashaling Molochole Venarshenu, and he recompenses against all of our haters. All those who hate us. Baruch Hashem, Hanifal Yisrael Mikol Tzarayim, who pays back for Kol Yisrael against all their adversaries. Okay? So you finish the bracha, God who pays back against all our enemies. Rava Amar Hakel HaMoshia. Rava says, no. You finish with Hakel HaMoshia, the God who saves. Okay? So is it that you finish the bracha with the God who pays back against pays back for Yisrael against all our enemies, or do you say no, the God who saves? This is a Chaf Aleph Mabez. So I'm a Papa. I'm going to say them both. Baruch Hashem and Efrei Shana Kol Tzarayim. Okay, the Mashiach. Shove them together. That's Rav Papa's innovation. But since there's a machlokas, what the chasim of the bracha is, that A or B? So he just says he combines them together into one big long chasima. Okay, so the question is, what's the machlokas? And as the bracha starts off again, the one who fights our fight, judges our judgment, punishes, you know, takes our vengeance, punishes our enemies, and then it finishes. One side says who takes vengeance, who repays for the Jews against our enemies, and the other one says God who is a saver, saves us. The question is, what's the machlokas? Which bracha would you think is more appropriate? Which chasima would you think is more appropriate? What's the logic to say one or the logic to say the other? On the surface, the first bracha really seems to be a more natural continuation of the whole text of what you're saying. Right? Because you're talking about punishing our enemies and judging our judgment and all that. And then the completion of the first chasima is the God who pays back against all our enemies. If the second one is the Kel HaMashiach, God who saves us. So Jakey is saying points out another. The second one seems to be like that's what we really care about the most, right? As you're saying. So that's the punchline. But at the same time, it's not exactly what the Racha was talking about, you know. So the question is, what are they arguing about? For some part of the reason, that's from Papa's innovation. And in three different places, or four different places in Shas, I think four, there's a machlokas of how the chasima should go. Or Papa comes up with the idea of combining them together. Problem is, in general, you can't have a chasima that has two different themes together. There's a principle, Ein Chos Mimishlayim, a chasim of a bracha, the end of a bracha should have one idea. Rav Papa seems to be saying you can kind of shove them together and weave them into one theme. But that's his idea. But the other positions don't seem to go for that. So we'll forget about him for the time being. Assume you can only do one. The question is, which one? What's the appropriate way to do it? You know, so that's what we have to figure out. The Megillah is about, it's about, you know, killing our enemies and saving us. Right, I mean, we were basically going to be exterminated by Amon, right? And all his everything. I mean, there's going to be like destroying all the Jews, right? Like Hitler, same deal. They was going to destroy everybody, right? And that was the plan, and it was going, right? And because the miracle that God, or the Purim story, which took place, guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he basically saved us and punished our enemy. Right? Not just we're alive, but these terrible, wicked people and all our enemies were eradicated and wiped out. Right? So God expressed a din, right? Where he basically, we were being oppressed, we were downtrodden, we were in a tough bind. And God basically, saved us and destroyed our enemy. And when you see that, and you see how it unfolded, that's something you're moved to give praise that God did that for us. And that's something which in any time in history we want. Right? It's like, that's what the Ramses says. Megillah is like to remind us that God is close to us in any time when we could be in Spalal. You know, they were in a tough situation. the worst situation. I mean, they knew they had a din, again, you know, a law by King Ahasuerus, the most powerful king. Haman, he didn't kill all the Jews in 11 months. It was it. Right? But they did tshuva, and they got the whole thing overturned. So it should brings to mind that that's that there's such a thing as that, that the Jewish person, people could be involved in tefillah and tshuva and perfection, and neither could overcome even the worst, you know, the worst impending tragedies. So that's what the, so when you see that, that moves a person to say, wow, God fights our fights, God destroys our enemies, God takes, you know, protects us from, right? That's something that moves a person. Right? Seems reasonable, right? And it's like the enemy is part of it, it's part of the picture, right? I mean, destroying and punishing our enemy and saving us, right? I mean, that's, there's a complex, us and our enemies. Kills, you know, saves the Jew, kills the Nazi, saves the Jew, kills the Malik. But then what's the second part? The second chassidus. And now the first chassima sounds like it's in that type of a light, right? Hanifra li Yisrael mikol tzarayim. He pays back. He punishes for the Jews against our enemies. Seems like it's a summary of that whole deal, right? What's the other guy's chassima? The other mandama, Rava? Akel HaMoshiach. The God who saves. What's that? Is that the same idea? Different idea? So how do you compare that? So Jakey says a good point. Just get the ball rolling here. Is that Akel HaMoshiach is a much more general type of a statement. Right? It's like a very, it's a very non-specific. He's the God who saves. Right? It's not even saying he saves the Jews from our enemies. Like it just, I mean, there's like an implicit, you could say, is those type of things. But the Shavach itself is an abstract. It's like the God who does this. Right? Talking about, like, we're waxing philosophical, so to speak. He's the God who's a Moshiach. You know, in fact, it says the first one, this is interesting, though, there's a machlokas about the Girsa. But the first one, it says, Hanifra Lishol Mikel Tzarayim. But there's a different Girsa, it's Hakel. Hanifra Lan Mikel Tzarayim, Hakel HaMoshiach. The God, it repeats Hakel two times. But we have it now, we don't have that. Okay, I think the Torah brings it down, we don't do it. I think it's the Torah. So Machla, the Rishonim says, no question of Rishonim, I think the Rav says not to, but I think there was a Rav Sofrim or a Rav Amram going, it did happen. But their saying is, no, the first one does not say Kel. First one says Hanifra, who pays back against our enemies, and the second one says Hakel HaMoshiach, the God who saves. Right, it's a more abstract sheva, right, about the salvation, about the fact that God saves, as opposed to the other one. It's more like the continuation. Our enemies, he destroyed our enemies, he killed our enemies, punished, saves the Jewish people, you know, from their enemies. It's like more explicit, more descriptive of what's going on. Right. Okay. So what do you make of that? What do you make of that? So which one should you be saying? Funny, the second one's a little funny. That's not what the bracha exactly was talking about. I mean, the bracha didn't say, I mean, it kind of is, it's like related. Obviously it's related, but the bracha itself doesn't say God, the God is Moshiach. It says he punishes our enemies, he does this, does that, and then all of a sudden comes out, oh, Hakel Moshiach. It's almost like, where's it coming from? The first one really is on the heels in the way normally brachas go. Chasima is the culmination of what you said. Right, right. It goes, it kind of like a bracha could be long winded, and the chasima pulls it all together. That's the way brachas often go, you know. But this, it's like the second one. It's not like long. It's not pulling it all together. It's almost going off the path a little bit. Again, not totally off the path. It's certainly related. Salvation is part of the thing, but it's not exactly just crystallization of what we've been saying. It's more, it's going away, slightly away from what we said. So what would be the sense of doing that? What's the argument for that? Why would you do that? The general model seems to be, in a long bracha, there's like, and this is the way people talk, I mean, I think it's just the way of speaking in general, I think, is that there's like a long, yeah, in conclusion, there's an idea. You don't want to just say your conclusion, because inclusion is only a conclusion. It's like just the shortest, it's missing all the details. So you want to say a lot of details. But at the same time, you have a lot of details, but like, what's the main idea? Could you pull it all together? Like, what are the details are trying to create a picture. And now when you say the conclusion, it encapsulates what all those details are. So it's like the way the Shevach goes is you elaborate, you all the whole long story. It could all be summarized by Aretz HaMelecha. But again, if you just said Aretz HaMelecha, you're missing details. If you just have the whole long thing, you're not defining the main point. So the speaker does that, essays do that. There's just a way of speaking. It's a way of presenting a point. So it would seem to be the position of a Kelner from Sereno, that's kind of what's happening here. Right, like five different terms, which are, you know, different facets of the same kind of a thing. It would be interesting to analyze all the different facets, but whatever. There are five different facets saying the same kind of thing in different angles, but then it pulls it all together. And if for Yisrael, we call it Sereno, right? That's like a normal model. The other model is somehow going away from that. It's a saying, it's like you'll see anything goes towards the goal. The goal is just Yeshua. Okay. Okay, yes. Okay, let's see if we can, you know, pull it together and understand what the machlokas is. So good. So I think this is similar to what Gil and Jacob are saying, is that what happens is in a Kelam Moshiach, it's almost like, you see, this bracha, it's interesting, what has this bracha, the way we learn this bracha, is it's like on the Nes, right? It's like the Nes moves the person. He hears the story of the Megillah and he's moved. Wow, we're saved, and Haman and Esther. It's like a powerful story and it moves a person. And part of how you're moved is you see our enemies are destroyed and he fights our fight. You say, wow, great. You know? So you're involved in a Shevach and you're telling the basic, all the elements of how you're moved. But at the end of the day, Rava maintains, you want to pull it together and like get out of the particular intense story and like take a lesson about God, like, you know, to learn to reflect on the Midas of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he's a Kelam Moshiach, that it's like almost it's like it isn't as so specific about the miracle itself, but it's like you're talking about a Midas Hashem, that God is a Moshiach, and that's what you say HaKel HaMoshiach. It's like you're not talking about the particular miracle anymore, the particular events, but you're abstracting to saying is all these events which are powerful and hit us emotionally, saves us from our enemies and punishes them. But then we say, wait, HaKel HaMoshiach. In other words, you reflect on a God as a Moshiach in a more abstract sense, not saving the Jewish people from. It's like you step away from the particulars of the, you know, of the power of the Megillah in this particular story. And you rise above the particular and reflect on an abstract to me, the Sakkadosh Baruch Hu as a Moshiach. And that's like the goal. And it brings to mind God as a Moshiach. And that's why it could be, is they make a point that you don't say, you say Hakel, means it's like we're talking about a Midas Hashem. In the first one, you're not talking about a Midas Hashem. You're not waxing philosophical. You're not making a statement about God. You're just continuing your being moved by the Nes. He saved our fight, fights our fight, kills our enemies, pays back a lot of Jews against our enemies. It's like you're just expressing the way you were moved. But and according to the first Madamar, that's the whole bracha. It's a bracha which is initiated by the experience of the Nes, and you know, by us, you know, reliving the Nes through the story, and that's how it culminates. According to Rava, the culmination of the bracha brings us to a higher level. It brings us out of the particulars of the Nes and causes us to reflect HaKel HaMoshiach. See, that's why the first one, it doesn't say Kel HaKel, because you're not reflecting on like an abstract Midas Hashem. You're just summarizing your fact that God did this and this and this and this, and he's paid us value back our enemies. HaKel HaMoshiach is getting more general and reflecting on in a more general sense. He's a saving God. He saves us. Well, he doesn't just save us. He just says he'll save. He saves. He's a Kel Mashiach. That's Mizrach. He's a Mashiach. So that's, I guess, the question. Is like, how does this bracha? The bracha is a bracha on the Nes, which is instigated by the experience of the Nes. But does it, and therefore it expresses itself based upon the emotions and the way a person is moved by the Nes. So does it stay there, or does it culminate in a higher expression? You know, that's what Rava held. And if Papa's solution is that they're not mutually exclusive, you combine them together. You could culminate with the combo deal, and the combo really brings it all together. Who's Nifra Yisrael Mitzrayim? Who he is the Kelam Moshiach. You know, he basically culminates in the what he already said, and then it leads to a higher recognition. You know, that was Rav Papa's solution. Is you don't have to do one or the other; you could accomplish both of those. You know, I mean, for whatever reason, they didn't go for that. It seems like they didn't you know, they didn't hold that. They didn't do that. They just had one or one. Of this is my brother's idea, by the way. What I'm saying it's like a different type of a bracha, because it's a bracha which is instigated by the experience of the nace, and it's like the bracha is putting the expression that a person would have when he's moved by the nace into words, you know. And then if you say Kel Mashiach, then it gets more abstract, and it gets more abstract and more universal. But it's like, in general, I don't think brachas in general go that way. In general, brachas are going right for the abstract. You see lightning, you just say Osem Haserachos. These are very universal things, but the particular moved you to it, but you don't express the particular. You don't say the God of the light who made lightning. In general, that's the way things go. You eat a fruit, you say Shakal Nivadvara. Even if you eat an apple, you say Rekreates. So in general, brachas are more abstract. It's using the particular to get abstract. But it's like here, I'm saying it's like it's, since the bracha is like set up because like the nace moves you, so it's like putting the experience of the nace and the response to the nace into words. That's the nature of this bracha. It's like a different kind of bracha. They set up because of the moving experience of the nace, and they're putting it into words. Now, does it then culminate in the universal abstract like normal brachas, or do you say this is just a bracha? It's not that kind of a bracha. So it's for the normal, it's a different bracha. The whole bracha is like an expression of the thing, and it just stays with the nature of what he experienced. You know, does it move you? Does it move the person towards the more abstract? This is a different approach. I mean, this Zimmer would have a different approach. I don't know if it's fully worked out, but just another way to look at the difference in two brachos. If you don't like this far, different approach. I don't know how to like nail it down, but they are two different focuses. What's the difference? If you had to tell me, what's the difference in focus between the first chasima and the second chasima? Forget this idea, the abstract, and the, you know, the what's just the focus, and what it's saying about God. You're right. Because in the first one, it's more of an idea of like he's punishing, destroying, doing din. It's like God as like almost like a shofet, it's a melech hamishpat, and he's basically punishing the enemy of the Klal Yisrael. There's Klal Yisrael, and he has a special relationship to Klal Yisrael, and he's punishing our enemies, exacting mishpat on the Rasha, on Haman, and on our enemies, and thereby saving us. Right? It's like God in the role of a Dayan, exacting mishpat. Right? And the other one is more the idea of God as saving us. Right? It's a different midas Kadosh Baruch Hu. God is Yod Moshiach. Right? There's two different aspects of two different midas Kadosh Baruch Hu. God is a din, as a melech, as a mishpat, and then there's that's one bracha and shema esrei, right? He's a melech yitzak on mishpat, and like that, he's malshinu mishover oivim machni azedim. He destroys enemies. That's an expression. God destroys evil. Evil is corrupt, and God destroys evil and removes it from the world. But then there's another thing. It's like Al Tzadikim, Mishal Tzalcha Tzadikim. God saves Tzadikim, and He saves us. He saves the oppressed. He's a Yeshua. He's a Moshiach. It's a different idea. God's a Moshiach, and it's like in the Megillah there are these two things, two aspects of the thing. On the one hand, we're celebrating the downfall of the Rishos, and on the other hand, we're celebrating the Yeshua, which emerged through that, you know. So although it's like, even in the first way, it does mention Klal Yisrael. It's not just that we're happy that Rishon died. It's Li Yisrael, and Nifra Li Yisrael Mikal Tzorim. So there is like a interplay between the Rishonim and the Yisrael. It's not just Stam for the sake of destroying them. I mean, maybe that's different, but there is a value to destroy evil, but it's tied in with the Yisrael. But it's like the focus is on saving us and destroying our enemy. You know, it's like it's like the focus is on the din to our enemy, which brings us freedom. The other one is forgetting about enemy. It's just talking about the goal. And this, I guess, what you were talking about is like the goal of Yeshua. Like in a certain sense, you say the more primary goal is Yeshua. You know? So, but they're different midos. I mean, there are different midos which are brought out in the Megillah. As you see, the Haman, the most powerful guy in the world, Rasha, and he falls and dies and gets killed. I mean, that's like an unbelievable thing, as you see that, you know, like God does din against Rishonim. I think it says, when the Chazal says, when God does din against Rishonim, is in the Shmo Neskadesh. It's an idea of the greatness. Haman's just saying, talking about the greatness of man. Bow to him. He was like similar to Hitler, you know, it was like the greatness of man. And when you see the greatness of man, and then he becomes punished and made into nothing, killed, you know. So that's the Kiddush Hashem. You see the illusion of that, and that's you see the din of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you see the, you know, the falsehood of Rishos. There's one midas Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what the Shira Shevach is according to that sheet. The other one is saying it's a different facet of Gneis, which is the fact that he saves us, say the salvation. Different. I mean, they come together, and those that happen the miracle, and that's why I can't figure out what's the machlokas. I mean, they both seem to be true ideas. It's like which one is better, which one's more important, which one's like, you know. It would seem to me is the more significant one should be, at least in terms of the Megillah, should be the second one, right? I mean, although the first one is also a very significant idea in its own right, but if you had to pick one, it would seem to be more reasonable to pick the Kelim Moshiach. So I don't know. I don't really know how to go further than that. It's another way of looking at the two different brachas. It's not looking at it based upon the other way, but looking at the different emphasis of what it's saying about God. You know, what the Shevach is about. And Rav Papa again combines them together because the two do go together. So Rav Papa says you could squeeze them together because they're two faces. They come about together through punishing the wicked. He saves the Jew. So he saves us. So you could kind of, he always says, you could weave them together. But I don't know, for some reason, there seems to be a premise in the first two positions, you can't have two things. So now you have to decide. But I can't figure out how, like, what's that based upon? How do you decide which one or the other? I don't have much to go on there. But it could be, if you went that way, it could be that's the Gersa that says Hakel. See, if you say this way, it's saying both of them are reflecting on me, it's a Kosh Baruch Hu. One of them is Yitzchak Baruch Hu, that he's a Nifrim, he's called Tzoreinu, that he punishes, that he's a Din. The other one is a Hakel, that he is Moshiach. See, there it could be, that's a Machlokas, is maybe whether you say Hakel in both, because then you're basically saying it's God who is this, God is that. Two different expressions of abstract expression of Yitzchak Baruch Hu. Look at that way of learning. The other way of learning is, no, the first one is more just continuing on your response of how you're moved by the Neis. The second one is really the reflection upon the Midah in the abstract. So then you only say Hakel in the second, Hakel in Moshiach, but not in that referral in China. You know? Yeah, themes in Purim. I mean, the theme of the Mechias HaMalek is a theme. You know? It's a theme in Purim. Destroying HaMalek, destroying evil, destroying Rishos, destroying the model of Rishos. That's one aspect of the day of Purim. Right, that's the laning is Amalek, Amalek. That's a different part of what the, you know. On the other hand, the theme in the day is the Yeshua and the Simcha that God relates to us, and God saves us, and God protects us, right? And that's the Simcha that, you know, our great Simcha is more directly related. I mean, it's also that he is Mechias Amalek, but it's like the Mechias Amalek is the Deoraisa, and it's part of Zechiras Amalek, Mechias Amalek. You can't underestimate that theme. I mean, we're saved, but there's another important idea in Purim, is the idea of destruction of evil. I mean, you can't have, like, the world that just, you know, just has, you know, just saves us, but there's evil in the world, and it's through eradicating Amalek is what allows the world to thrive. And if you have, evil in the world, perpetuate, you know, first of all, carries out evil, could destroy all the Jewish people, and perpetuates the whole world order of evil. So, you know, that's a major thing, is that the world full of Nazis is a corrupt world, and God destroyed the Nazis. It moves the world towards truth, towards the good, and you gotta have a hatred and instruct to destroy that ideology, and that God does that, and the Megillah is an instance of that. And that's a mitzvah, you can't forget about that idea. So it is a significant theme about the day. On the other hand, the other idea is the day of, you know, Mishta, Simcha. And, I mean, more, that's more directly related to our personal salvation. You know, of course, it's relative to the enemies, but it's, the main thing is, like, we're saved, we're happy, we're, you know. Or just the question is, like, how do you, like, what's the machlokas, you know? And also you have the fact that the beginning of the bracha does seem to be not focused on us. It seems to be focused on the punishment, right? All that stuff. You know, you still have that problem. It's like the whole beginning of the bracha doesn't seem to be geared towards the nekava. It just seems to be the end is that way. So I don't know. I can't really clinch it. It's not a reason to reject the svara, but at the same time, it's like it's, you know, it would be nice if we could kind of get what the question is. You know, identifying two different ideas, but like, what's the depend upon which way you go?